from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo wants to change village potentials into economic strength. President Joko Widodo says teachers must inspire and enlighten students with knowledge. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has expressed hope the next round of Village Fund program will be able to change various village potentials into economic strength. He said at a meeting held to evaluate the policy on development and empowerment of rural community and familiarize the public with priority in the use of Village Fund 2019 at Palembang Sport and Convention Center on Sunday, November 25, that besides infrastructures, the fund could be used, for example, to develop tourism in the villages. President Joko Widodo added that the next round of Village Fund program should not merely be directed toward constructing infrastructures, but also developing human resources and rural potentials. As quoted by Antara, President Fuda remarked that the Village Fund should also be used to improve villagers' health by addressing malnutrition and stunting, among others. The president went on to say the time has come for village administrations to think of how to turn the village's potentials into the economic strength. In this regard, the Village Fund could be used to build and encourage tourism in the village. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said that teachers inspire students, enlighten them with knowledge, and guide them so that they can improve their capacity to be eligible human resources. It was remarked by President Joko Widodo during his visit in Palembang, South Sumatra on Sunday, November 25, which coincided with the National Teachers' Day. On the occasion, President Joko Widodo congratulated all Indonesian teachers spread throughout the archipelago on this commemoration. National radio news agency KBRN reported that the Indonesian government has established November 25, which is the Indonesian Teachers Union Day, to become the National Teachers Day based on the Presidential Decree No. 78, year 1994. The establishment of the National Teachers' Day is the appreciation of the Indonesian government for the dedication of Indonesian teachers. During his work visit on Sunday to Palembang, South Sumatra, President Joko Widodo reminded that the Village Fund program must improve the welfare of rural communities along with the increase in money circulation in rural areas. President Joko Widodo remarked that the more the money circulates in the village, the more the welfare of village communities will increase. Village development and empowerment is one of the government's commitments to bring economic equality in the country. President Joko Widodo stated that the orientation of national development had indeed undergone several changes in the past few years. An increase in the budget allocation for village development each year is one indication that the government is indeed prioritizing villages as the main development program. Hence, the head of state has invited the community to oversee the use of village funds in order to be right on target. According to the president, the government has provided village funds amounting to 20.7 trillion rupiah in 2015, 40 trillion rupiah in 2016, and 60 trillion rupiah each in 2017 and 2018. The government plans to disburse 73 trillion rupiah for village funds in 2019. Indonesian Maritime and Fishery Affairs Minister Susi Pujastuti stated that the Indonesian government is very committed to resolve the plastic waste issue in the Indonesian Ocean. Minister Susi said that President Joko Widodo has taken serious effort to solve the plastic waste issue in the Indonesian Ocean by issuing the presidential regulation. As reported by Republika, Minister Susi in Jakarta on Sunday, November 25, said that the government issues the regulation to raise people's awareness about the danger of plastic waste for the Indonesian marine creatures. Minister Susi added that the Indonesian commitment to alleviating plastic waste has also been disseminated globally at the Our Ocean Conference 2018 held in Bali last October. At the conference, which was participated in by hundreds of world state leaders, Minister Susi highlighted about the plastic bags used for shopping. This news comes to you from RRI World Service in Jakarta. Various kinds of Indonesian coffee are getting more favored by community in the United Kingdom. It can be seen by the attendance of coffee importers and coffee shop owners of the country at the Indonesia Coffee Day, which was held by Indonesian Embassy in London. Minister Counselor of the Indonesian Embassy in London, Thomas Siregar, reported to Antara News London that the coffee importers and coffee shop owners are attracted to explore about Indonesian coffee business. Indonesian Ambassador to the United Kingdom, Republic of Ireland and the International Maritime Organization, Rizal Sukma, said that the potential of Indonesian coffee market in UK is very prospective. Considering there is a shift of trend in British people from the tradition of drinking tea to coffee, he hopes the Indonesia Coffee Day event can promote and expand Indonesian coffee export to the United Kingdom. He also encourages various stakeholders to develop the Indonesian coffee industry, just like the cooperation established by Bank Indonesia and Bank Mandiri with the Indonesian coffee farmers. Gunawan Wicaksana, a communication studies expert, opined that the media is not independent in the current political year. Regulation of the General Election Commission PKPU No. 33 of 2018 on general election campaign that restricted political advertisement on media for only 21 days from March 24, 2018 to April 13, 2019, or 3 days prior to the simultaneous presidential and legislative elections on April 17, 2019, was one of the factors that restricted the media from being independent, Wicaksana explained. The restriction on political ads triggered the media to create programs in order to attract ads and to gain significant ads share, even if they have to ignore existing regulations. However, Law No. 32-2002 on Broadcasting in its Chapter 36, Article 4, says that the broadcasting contents must be neutral and not siding with certain group or groups. Wicaksana has urged the KPI to respond to a boycott imposed by the presidential election campaign team of presidential candidate Prabowo Subianto on private television station Metro TV. The commission should monitor and study contents of Metro TV's programs concerning the 2019 elections. The last item. Indonesian men's doubles badminton players Fajar Alfian, Muhammad Rian Ardianto won the world champion title at the Shed Modi International Championship in Lucknow, India on Sunday, November 25. As reported by Antara in Jakarta, from the official site of International Badminton Federation, Fajar Rian won the title after defeating the host team, namely Satwik Sairaj Rankireddy, Chirag Shetty, in two straight games with score 21-11, 22-20, within 38 minutes of game at the Super 300 tournament. The victory in Lucknow marks the second time of Fajar and Rian's winning against the world's 19th-ranked players. Listener to Andy News, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo wants to change village potentials into economic strength. President Joko Widodo says teachers must inspire and enlighten students with knowledge. That was the news from RRI World Service in Jakarta.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. Well, today's topic is becoming a teacher in the millennial era. Being a teacher is not just a profession. It is a call for the heart in carrying out the mandate. Because the teacher is a role model for the community. In Japanese jargon, dikugu, this means that words of teacher must be followed or emulated. A teacher is always followed. This means that his or her words must be role models. Therefore, a teacher must have a strong authority and sufficient insight. Whatever he or she says will be considered true by both students and the surrounding community. The spirit and character of a teacher must be emulated. Being a teacher, especially nowadays, has its own challenges. With the rapid development of information technology, teachers face students. Y or millennial generation, both over the 1980s to 1997, and Generation Z, formed after 1997, which refers to the internet generation. Today's schools are places of teaching and learning environments that bring together two different generations. They are teachers from Generation X, who were born between 1960 and 1980, and millennial students and Generation X, who were born in the internet era. This meeting between different generations, if not addressed carefully, will certainly create various misunderstandings. Many teachers had minimal ability in the field of technology. Their way of thinking is often considered to be less rapid in responding to the pace of information and technology development compared with their students who are familiar with technological developments. Such teachers will probably become boring ones, even they may hamper the growth of students' potential. Students in the millennial era are often accused of being spoiled, having low learning motivation, and spending too much time in front of television, computers, or smartphones. They are claimed as a generation of being confused, unstable, and inconsistent because they do not feel at home in one place for a long time. To overcome this, teachers or school must be creative in finding a comfortable and interesting learning atmosphere. Millennial and X-generation students are different from the previous generation who had to sit from morning to afternoon in the classrooms. As a generation that is familiar with the digital world, they have information in their hands through smartphones. This means that learning opportunities do not have to be in the classrooms. They can access information anywhere and anytime. What is needed from teachers is proportional supervision because they remain humans who need feedback, attention, and appreciation from teachers and parents. The teachers also no longer always act as a boss who gives orders that must be obeyed. Millennial students need caring teacher figures, love to discuss, provide guidance in two-way communication, and do not give superior advice. Above all, teachers' competence must be improved, especially in mastering information technology, so that their knowledge increases. This will, of course, have an impact on improving the quality of our education. Happy National Teachers' Day. Listener, that was the commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to meet you again in our regular program Today in History, over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, we start from an event on November 26, 1922, when Howard Carter became the first person who entered the Tutankhamun tomb. Since Howard Carter found Tutankhamun tomb on November 26, 1922, Tutankhamun has become a popular icon of ancient Egyptian civilization. Tutankhamun was buried in a tomb which is relatively small for his status. Mummy of King Tutankhamun is still located at the tomb at the King's Valley. On November 4, 2007, 85 years after Carter's discovery, brownstone was exhibited at underground tomb in Luxor. Naked spiritual Tutankhamun is found from the 18th dynasty of Egypt, who controlled from 1333 before Christmas until 1324 before Christmas and the new kingdom of Egyptian era. His real name is Tutankhaten, meaning life incarnation of Aten, while Tutankhamun meaning life or incarnation of Amun. The next event is that in 1990, after more than 30 years in power, Lee Kuan Yew was replaced by Goh Chok Tong. Lee Kuan Yew was Singaporean Prime Minister from 1959 until 1990. In 1954, Lee, along with his group who studied in England, formed People's Action Party to push the establishment of Singaporean government that is suffering so that colonialism of Great Britain could end. 5 years later, in 1959, Lee was elected as the first Prime Minister of Singapore, replacing former head of Singapore Minister David Shaw Marshall. Lee Kuan Yew still becomes political figure who has influence in Singapore since his nation as a Prime Minister. On November 26, 1990, he was replaced by Goh Chok Tong. In the Goh Chok Tong government, Lee officiated as a senior minister. And the last event is that in 2011, Kutai Kartanegara Bridge in East Kalimantan collapsed. Kutai Kartanegara Bridge was a bridge that passed on Mahakam River and the longest hanging bridge in Indonesia. The total length of the bridge reached 710 meters, with hanging area without support reaching 270 meters. The bridge was connecting between Tenggarong City and Tenggarong Seberang that directed to Samarinda City. Kutai Kartanegara Bridge was the second one, which was built facing Mahakam River after Mahakam Bridge in Samarinda and also called Mahakam Bridge II. The bridge was built similar with Golden Gate in San Francisco, the United States of America. The construction of the bridge started in 1995 and finished in 2001. When being inaugurated, the bridge was named Gerban Dayaku, but changed to be Kutai Kartanegara Martadipura or Kartanegara Bridge. On November 26, 2011, at 4:20 local time, Kutai Kartanegara Bridge collapsed. Dozens of vehicles on the bridge were plunged into Mahakam River. As a consequence, 21 people were killed and dozens of people were injured. The result of research of three teams of university showed that there was indication of construction failure. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku. My Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program through RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. For today's topic of My Indonesia, negotiation between Indonesia and FTSIPA completed. Minister of Trade Enggar Tias Tolukita signed a joint statement which saw the completion of negotiations on the Indonesian European Free Trade Association, EFTA, SEPA Economic Cooperation Agreement at the EFTA Secretariat Geneva, Switzerland last Friday. The signing was carried out by Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita with four EFTA states, Minister from Switzerland, Liechtenstein, Iceland and Norway. The signing marks the completion of negotiations between Indonesia and EFTA countries through the Indonesia-EFTA Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, SEEMT. Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita said that the five countries are very happy and grateful that SEPA negotiations, which have taken 7 years, were finally resolved. The settlement is a milestone for Indonesian relationship with the four EFTA countries. Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita, as released by the Minister of Trade, stated that the next step is to do legal scribing and translation so that technically and legally SEPA is ready to be signed. SEPA is scheduled to be signed in Jakarta in December 2018. Indonesia and EFTA are indeed committed to completing negotiations this year. Therefore, negotiators have worked intensively to resolve existing issues. Finally, the negotiations were successfully completed in Bali on November 1, 2018. Based on the SEPA, goods market access between Indonesia and EFTA will be broader, including services and investment, as well as economic cooperation and capacity building. In goods trade, Indonesia will gain increased market access to EFTA, such as fishery products, textile industry, furniture, bicycles, electronics, and car tires and agriculture, including coffee and palm oil. In surface trade, market access for Indonesian workers, intra-corporate trainees, contract service supplier, independent, professional, and young professional to EFTA will be more open. For example, the service sector will get benefits such as professional services, telecommunications, finance, transportation, and education. Indonesia will also gain an increase in investment from EFTA member countries in the energy and mining sectors, such as machinery, agriculture, fishery, forestry, and chemical industries. In addition, Indonesia will get cooperation and capacity building, for example in the fisheries and quarrying aquamarine sector, export promotion, tuition, intellectual property rights, sustainability, maintenance, repair and overhaul, and vocational education. EFTA is a trading group in the European region where Indonesia has not maximally utilized and developed its market potential. Minister Enggartiasto emphasized that with the completion of SEPA, it is expected that the utilization of existing market shares in each country can be optimized as well as the entrance to the European market. He also hopes that this agreement can create a foundation to catch up with other ASEAN countries, especially the Philippines and Singapore, which have completed trade agreements with EFTA. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has expressed hope the next round of Village Fund program will be able to change various village potentials into economic strengths. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said that teachers inspire students, enlighten them with knowledge and guide them so that they can improve their capacity to be eligible human resources. During his work visit on Sunday to Palembang, South Sumatra, President Joko Widodo reminded that the Village Fund program must improve the welfare of rural communities, along with the increase in money circulation in rural areas. Indonesian Maritime and Fishery Affairs Minister Susi Pujastuti stated that the Indonesian government is very committed to resolving the plastic waste issue in Indonesian ocean. Various kinds of Indonesian coffee are getting more favored by community in the United Kingdom. It can be seen by the attendance of coffee importers and coffee shop owners of the country at the Indonesia Coffee Day, which was held by Indonesian Embassy in London. Gunawan Wicaksana, a communication studies expert, opined that the media is not independent in the current political year. Indonesian men's doubles badminton players Fajar Alfian, Muhammad Rian Ardianto won the world champion title at the Shad Modi International Championship in Lucknow, India on Sunday, November 25. Listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you Mutiara Beach in Southeast Sulawesi. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on www.voinews.id. Listeners, Central Buton Regency is the regency of Southeast Sulawesi, which has a number of economic potential, such as agriculture, plantation, fishery, mining, and tourism sector, that are equally important with other regions in Southeast Sulawesi. In the tourism sector, the regency has tourism objects, which begin to be known by tourists, such as Katembe, Mutiara, and Marlboro Beach, Maubu, Gumanano, Loba-Loba Cave, and many others. Among those tourism objects, Mutiara Beach at Gumanano Village, Mawasangka District is being developed to be one of the mainstay tourism objects of Central Buton Regency. Thank you. Listeners, Bumanano is a village at Mawasangka District to the village from Wamengkoli Port, Buton, has a distance around 84 kilometers. To go to Mutiara Beach, you must go to Bumanano Village first. The village is very isolated, so that is not easy to go there. The trip can be started from Labung Kari City, the capital of Central Buton Regency. The Regency can be accessed from Bau Bau City by ferry. The city can be accessed by plane from Jakarta for 3 hours and continued to Bau Bau by speedboat for 5 hours. Listeners, arriving at Mutiara Beach, you will be welcomed by the beauty of the beach. Smooth white sand overlays along the beach. Mutiara Beach will be more beautiful if seawater is low tide, because its white sand is seen more widely, including with its clear blue water. No wonder if the beach becomes tourism icon of Central Buton. A lot of tourists who come here take pictures of the beach beauty. Listeners, besides swimming, visitors who have fishing hobby can channel their hobby here. In addition to touring at Mutiara Beach, the visitors can also enjoy another tourism object at Bumanano Village. At the village, there is a fortress of Buton Sultanate's heritage, Lhasa Yi Dewa. The fortress has 7 doors. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation between RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Di sana ada pertunjukan, or in English, there is a show. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about Di sana ada pertunjukan, or in English, there is a show. Tony, Joko, Endah, and Dinda are at a cultural center in Yogyakarta.
Wah, di sana ada pertunjukan tari topeng. Mau menonton?
Mau, tapi kita tunggu Dinda dan Joko dahulu di sini ya.
Oke.
After the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word twice, slowly, and you can follow after me. Pertunjukan. Pertunjukan, in English, show. Tari topeng. Tari topeng, in English, topeng or mask dance. Di sana. Di sana, in English, there. Di situ. Di situ, in English, there. Di sini. Di sini, in English, here. Di sana ada pertunjukan tari topeng. Di sana ada pertunjukan tari topeng. In English, there is a mask dance show there. Mau menonton? Mau menonton? In English, why don't we watch it? Mau, tetapi kita tunggu Dinda dan Joko dahulu di sini. Mau, tetapi kita tunggu Dinda dan Joko dahulu di sini. In English, okay, but I think we have to wait Dinda and Joko first. Listener in the dialogue, Endah said, di sana ada pertunjukan tari topeng. In English, there is a topeng or mask dance there. To tell someone's location or something located far away from you, you can use the word di sana, in English, there. Let's follow some examples. Di sana ada pertunjukan tari topeng. There is a mask dance performance there. Dinda dan Joko berada di sana. Dinda and Joko are there. To tell about someone's location or something near or close to you, you can use the word di sini or in English, here. Let's follow some examples. Kita tunggu Dinda dan Joko di sini. In English, we wait for Dinda and Joko here. Kemarin, ada pertunjukan tari topeng di sini. In English, yesterday, there was topeng or mask dance performance here. In addition to the words di sana and di sini, in the Indonesian language, there is another word whose position is between the two words, namely di situ, which means there. When you want to tell someone's location or something that is not too close and not too far from you, you can use the word di situ. So, if sorted from the farthest distance, they become di sana, di situ means there, and di sini or here. For examples, saya menyimpan tiket di sana. In English, I put a ticket there. Saya menyimpan tiket di situ. In English, I put a ticket there. Saya menyimpan tiket di sini. In English, I put a ticket here. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's follow again the conversation.
Wah, di sana ada pertunjukan tari topeng. Mau menonton?
Mau, tapi kita tunggu Dinda dan Joko dahulu di sini ya.
Oke.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Music Corner, a segment which presents information about Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, I will present Kroncong songs dedicated by talented female singers in Indonesia. To initiate our segment of Music Corner, let's listen to the first song entitled Langgam Kerinduan by Mami Marsudi. Enjoy the song.
Dirimu sayang
That was the Kroncong song Langgam Kerinduan by Mami Marsudi. The song has a sad tone with melancholic rhythm. In this song, Mami Marsudi tells the story of someone's longing for the lover who has been wandering for a long time. Although she tried to forget, the longing to the lover always in her mind. Mami Marsudi or Prasito Resmi has melodious voice. She was better known as dancer. Her skill in dancing and singing Kroncong has brought her to various countries as ambassador in cultural missions. Her interest in Kroncong music began when her husband Marsudi brought her a Kroncong cassette, which was given by the Central Java Pavilion Manager, Indonesia Miniature Park or Taman Mini Indonesia Indah, in 1983. One of the songs she liked on the cassette was Bunga Sekuntum. With the song, Mami Marsudi began to join the Kroncong singing competition and achieve the victory. Since then, she continued to increase her singing talent. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Riwayat Sangkuriang by another female singer, Teti Supangat. Enjoy the song. Sangkuriang putra You've just listened to the song Riwayat Sang Kuryang by Teti Supangat. The lyrics were taken from a legendary story from the Sundanese or West Java region. The story was believed by local people behind the creation of Bandung Lake, Mount Tangkuban Perahu, Mount Burangrang, and Mount Bukit Tunggal. The rhythm of Sundanese or West Javanese songs quite affected this song, which is then rapped in Kroncong music. Teti Supangat was one of Indonesia's talented singers. In Kroncong music industry, Teti Supangat was nominated in the Emmy Award for the category of solo singer in 2015 and 2017. Listener, to conclude the segment of Music Corner for today, I'll dedicate to you the last two songs entitled Melati Pesanku by Mami Marsudi and also Terkenang by Teti Supangat. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Tiada kuasa.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.